Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, hi there, church, and thank you once again for joining us online today. And it's been an interesting week in our nation, and we're obviously still very mindful of all the COVID stats that are coming through. Many people around our country are being infected. And we've also seen the impact of it in our churches across the campuses. And I just want to take a moment before we go to the word today, just to pray for people who've experienced loss through COVID, or for those of you who currently are battling with COVID. And maybe I can just encourage you firstly from the book of Exodus. At the time when God's people were slaves in Egypt, they were facing a really, really difficult period in time. And the Bible says in Exodus 3, verse 7, that the Lord said to Moses, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them." We see here that God sees, He hears, God is concerned about the suffering of His people, and God always has a plan. And so I want to just take a moment and just pray, and wherever you're watching from in your homes, wherever you might be today, if you can maybe just pray with me, let's bring our faith together and let's trust God to meet us at the place of our suffering and oppression through COVID. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you and we thank you that you are good. Thank you that you are in control of all things, Lord. And Father, we're facing a difficult period as a nation. This COVID pandemic has wreaked havoc in the lives of many people. And Lord, I firstly want to pray for those who have lost a loved one in this season, Lord. We've seen in our churches and our campuses again that people have died, Lord. I pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit upon those families. I pray for the peace of God in their hearts. Would you renew strength? Would you renew faith? And would you help us to keep our eyes fixed on you? Lord, I also want to pray for those who are currently battling with COVID. Your word tells us that you are the Lord, our healer. You're aware of the suffering. And I just pray for supernatural and divine healing. I pray you would touch the bodies of those who are suffering at the moment, people who are in hospital, people who are struggling to breathe, that you would breathe your life into those bodies, you would restore and you would renew in Jesus' name. And then, Father, I also want to pray for your divine protection over us, Lord. Give us the wisdom and the discernment to keep doing what we need to do. But, Lord, we recognize that our lives are in your hands. We are not the masters of our own lives. We need your protection. We trust you for your protection against this virus, that you would reduce the infection rates in our country, and that we can get back to normal, Lord. We trust you for this. We ask you, thank you, that you see, you hear, you're aware of the suffering, and you will do something about it. We trust you by faith for better days, for healing, for breakthrough and restoration. In Jesus' name, and all God's people who are in agreement said, amen. Amen. Well, today we're going to do the second part on the message of rising above average, rising above average. And my goal is really to encourage you not to settle at any point in life for just average. You know, last week we saw that average in a spiritual context is described in the Bible as being lukewarm, somewhere in the middle, not against God, but also not fully committed to Him. And when you settle for an average walk with God, well, eventually you end up drifting further and further away from Him. You know, church, average is really that place in the middle, that place of neither here nor there, not overly committed to anything, just doing enough to get by, just doing the minimum really, and kind of going through life, just ticking the boxes, but never actually stepping up and putting your faith to work. A man by the name of Grant Cardone is a very successful entrepreneur and best-selling author. And he says that average doesn't work in any area of life. Anything that you give average amounts of attention to will start to subside and eventually cease to exist. Companies, industries, artists, products, and individuals who continue into the future successfully are those who approach every activity with the outlook that average is just not good enough. You need to change your commitment and thinking to be far above any concepts of average. Now, a man by the name of William Cunningham was a Scottish historian and Anglican priest from the early 1900s. And he tells the story of a man who was walking alone in the desert one night when he heard a voice. And the voice said to him, "Stop and pick up some pebbles at your feet and put them in your pocket. And then when the morning light comes, you will be both sorry and glad." Well, the man obeyed and he bent down and picked up a handful of pebbles. He put them in his pocket. And when it was morning, well, he reached into his pockets and he pulled out diamonds, rubies and emeralds. And at that moment, the man remembered the voice that spoke to him. And he was happy that he obeyed the voice and that he had taken some pebbles. But he was also very sad that he had not taken more. And you know, church, I think that sums up how most people feel when they get to the end of their lives. I was happy that I did something, but I regret that I should have done more because I settled somewhere in the middle at average. You know, I wonder today whether you've settled for average in your life. Maybe you've just accepted that, you know, things are the way they are, that there's nothing you can do to change that. And, you know, I also think that at this time of the year, many people settle into maintenance mode. You know, we don't have the expectations that we have at the start of the year when we make plans and we set goals and make New Year's resolutions. But we also don't have the excitement of the end of the year, you know, when we're getting ready for holidays and to go on a bit of a break. We're in that middle part of the year, the average time of year. And you know, COVID has also continued way longer than any of us thought, and many have become weary and discouraged, and perhaps you've given up on all the dreams and plans you had for the future. But you know, the good thing is that we always have a choice. We can either settle for average or we can rise above average. We can accept that, well, this is just our lot in life, or we can push through, we can persevere, and we can trust God to work all things for our good. Now, I want us to read a passage together from the book of 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. And we read here of one of the kings of Judah, a guy called Amaziah. And in 2 Chronicles 25, we read that Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother was Jehoiadan from Jerusalem. Now, here we see that this guy, the Bible speaks of Amaziah, was made king at just the age of 25, and he becomes the most powerful man in Judah and had an opportunity to do great things for God and for his people. And then we read in verse 2 that Amaziah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, but not wholeheartedly. Notice that, not wholeheartedly. You know, it's interesting to see the wording that some of the other translations use. The Good News Translation says that he did what was pleasing to the Lord, but did it reluctantly. The Living Bible says he did what was right, but sometimes resented it. And then the Contemporary English Version says that even though Amaziah obeyed the Lord by doing right, he refused to be completely faithful. Then we read in verse 3 that when Amaziah was well established as king, he executed the officials who had assassinated his father. However, he did not kill the children of the assassins, for he obeyed the command of the Lord as written by Moses in the book of the law. So here we see that he starts off well and he does what is good and right before the Lord. We see that Amaziah obeys the law and he makes some good decisions. But then sometime later, we read in verse 14 that when King Amaziah returned from slaughtering the Edomites, he brought with him idols taken from the people of Seir. He set them up as his own gods, bowed in front of them, and then offered sacrifices to them. So having done some good, well, he now turns away from God. You see, the thing about Amaziah is that he was good, but he was not all good. Because sometimes he was bad, but he wasn't all bad. You know, he wasn't as bad as the kings of Israel who were, generally completely against the things of God. But neither was he as good as some of the kings of Judah before him. He was somewhere in the middle, average. Amaziah was an average king. He had every opportunity to be a great king, but because he settled for average, well, he never fulfilled his full potential. And then we read in verse 27 that after Amaziah turned away from the Lord, there was a conspiracy against his life in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. And it says, but his enemies sent assassins after him, and they killed him there. Here we read that Amaziah's life was cut short because he chose average above God's best for his life. You know, those words we saw that the Bible uses to describe him earlier were reluctant, resented, and refuses. And I think those are words that often describe the actions of people who settle for average. You know, they're reluctant to give their best, or they resent doing more than the bare minimum, and they refuse to do anything that is convenient or takes them out of their comfort zone. And church, who knows? Who knows what God could have done through the life of Amaziah, but because of his desire to be average, not too good, but not too bad, well, he never became all that God intended for him to be. And sadly, he wasted much of his life. Now, it's interesting to read in the book of Matthew that when the genealogy of Jesus is mentioned in chapter 1, that Amaziah's name is actually left out, even though he was in the lineage of Jesus. And we read in Matthew 1 verse 8, the Bible says that Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat was the father of Jehoram. Jehoram was the father of Uzziah. Now, the word used here for father can also mean ancestor and not necessarily one's own biological father. We know from the Old Testament that Jehoram was actually the great-great-grandfather of Uzziah. So we see a gap in the genealogy here. It goes from Jehoram, then it leaves out Amaziah, and then goes on to mention Uzziah. And I wonder how much of a role it played that Amaziah was simply an average king. You know, last week we read the words of Jesus to the church in Laodicea, where he said in Revelation 3, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, in other words, average, in the middle, I will spit you out of my mouth. And it would seem here from Scripture that Amaziah was spat out of the genealogy of Jesus. Why? Well, because he was neither hot nor cold. He was neither good nor bad. He was just average. And people who settle for average will eventually distance themselves from Jesus, because, church, there's nothing average about Jesus, and there's nothing average about God's plans for humanity and his purpose for your life or mine. And so it's very important that we evaluate ourselves correctly to see whether we've perhaps settled for average in life. You know, the Bible says of Amaziah in 2 Chronicles 25:2 that he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, but not wholeheartedly. You know, people who settle for average generally do most things non-wholeheartedly. In other words, they don't give the best of themselves. They only do what's mediocre or what's enough to get by. And if you want to assess whether perhaps you have started accepting average for your life, then listen out for whether you regularly say things like this. Maybe often you say, that'll do. In other words, that's good enough. You know, I could put a bit more effort into what I do, but nah, that'll do. Or maybe you often say, why bother? Why bother working harder? You know, I'm just going to get taxed more anyway. Why bother studying harder? You know, there's no jobs in the country anyway. Or why bother taking care of my appearance? You know, no one shows an interest in me anyway. Or perhaps you often say this, it's not worth it. Yeah, it's just not worth it putting effort into our marriage. We're probably going to get divorced. Or you say, it's not worth praying anymore for this country. Yeah, there's no future here. Or you say, it's just not worth investing into people anymore. They just end up disappointing you. Or maybe you even say something like this regularly, it's just too much effort. You know, I'd like to study further and get my degree, but just too much effort. I'd really like to exercise more and get fit, but it's just too much effort. Or you say, I'd like to grow in my relationship with God, but it's just too much effort. Church, these are the things that average people frequently say. But remember, average is not part of God's plan. God has more for your life, and He wants to accomplish more through your life. But if we refuse to rise above average, well, we'll end up somewhere in the middle. Not bad, but definitely not good either. Now, in Luke chapter 5, we see some of the great benefits of rising above average. Many of you would know the story that Simon Peter had been out fishing all night and caught nothing. And then we pick up in verse 4, it says, when he, Jesus, had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper. Notice that, where it is deeper, and let down your nets to catch some fish. Verse 5, Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. And this time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. Verse 7 says that a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. And then verse 10, Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. Here we see the first benefit of rising above average is that we get above average breakthrough and blessing. You know, Jesus here gave Peter a very simple instruction. He said, go out where it is deeper and let down your nets. You know, to go out where it is deeper is simply to go beyond where average people go, to do more than the average person does. Because most people don't like going into deeper waters. You know, people prefer the shallower waters. Why? Well, because it's safer and it's more comfortable and there's far less risk involved. And sadly, that's where most people live out their entire lives, just kind of splashing around in the shallow waters. But we must understand that above average breakthrough and blessing can never be found in the average shallow waters. Now, Peter had to go to where it was deeper, where there was more risk involved and where the waves were bigger and more dangerous, where it wasn't as safe and as comfortable. No, he had to stretch himself beyond average. And the moment he did so, church, isn't it amazing? He saw breakthrough and blessing that he'd never experienced before. You know, I think as a nation, we've unfortunately bought into the belief that average or even less than average is good enough. You know, I think most South Africans get frustrated when we walk into a government office because the overall feeling you get is that nobody cares. You know, when people lose their wallet or their handbag, the biggest concern is not the money you've lost or even the bank cards that need to be replaced. No, it's the discouragement of knowing that you have to go to a government office to reapply for a new ID or driver's license. I think even in our retail stores, we've almost come to accept that average is generally the best that we can hope for. You know, you go into most shops in any mall around the country and your experience will likely be the same. Average. I mean, the store attendants are not really bad. You know, they don't shout at you when you walk in or start swearing at you. But neither are they really good. They don't introduce themselves to you. They don't ask you how you're doing. They don't let you know that they're available to help you with whatever you need. No, they're just somewhere in the middle. Average. And then people wonder why they never get promoted or why they don't get bigger pay increases and why they're likely to end up at best doing the same work for the rest of their lives. It's because an average approach to anything in life can only ever bring an average reward. Andrew Carnegie was the man who led the expansion of the American steel industry in the late 19th century, and he also became one of the richest Americans in history. And he once very wisely noted that the average person puts only 25% of his energy and ability into his work. The world takes its hat off to those who put in more than 50% of capacity and stands on its head for those few and far between souls who devote 100%. Can I appeal to you today? Don't just give 25% of your time or your talent or your abilities to what you do, because that's really, really bad. Don't even just give 50% of effort to what you do, because that's only average. That's where most people would fit in. But can I encourage you, devote 100% to whatever you do. Don't just be average. Don't just settle for what everyone else does. Because if you're prepared to work and live your life in the deeper waters, in the place above average, well, you will see blessing and breakthrough in your life that others do not see. You know, it's interesting that Peter's initial response to Jesus seemed to be one of resistance. In verse 5, he says, "Master, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing." And I think it's fair to say that in all of us, there is a resistance to increasing our average. You know, we don't naturally take well to doing more that is asked or expected of us, but you know, it's almost like we have to build an immunity against average, because we'll always naturally gravitate towards it. I think it's probably a default setting for all of us. You know, we like the convenience and the ease of average. But if you're going to settle for average, then you're also going to have to settle for average breakthrough and average blessing. You cannot expect to receive all that God has for you if you're only prepared to put in an average amount of effort. But fortunately, to Peter's credit, I think he very quickly got over himself and he responded to Jesus and chose to rise above average and go into the deeper waters. A man by the name of Eric Thomas is a well-known American motivational speaker. And a while back, he started something called TGIM. Thank God It's Monday, which is very different to the average mindset of what people like, which is TGIF, thank God it's Friday. And Eric Thomas says this. He says, "You must become allergic to the idea of being average. Mediocre success, satisfactory work, and substandard results cannot be enough for you. If they are, retrain your brain right now. You need to develop an allergy to average. Success depends on being extraordinary and outstanding. In a world full of mediocrity and just enough, you must become exceptional. You must be and want more than enough." I hope you can say amen to that today. Then the second benefit is that we make a difference in the lives of others. You know, the Bible says that Peter's boat became so full of fish that it was on the verge of sinking. And then we read in verse 7 that a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. You see, because Peter refused to stay in the average waters, well, others were blessed as well. Not only was Peter's boat full, but the boat that belonged to someone else Well, that was also full. So Peter's response directly impacted someone else's life. And church, the reason God calls us to rise above average is not so that we can be amazing and so that, you know, people can clap and tell us how awesome we are. No, it's so that we can touch the lives of others, so that we can influence others, so that we can bring something of Jesus to a world that is empty and looking for meaning and hope. You know, those empty boats were really like the lives of most average people. Empty. I mean, the boat may look nice. It might be a trendy and fashionable boat. It might be a boat that impresses people. It might be a boat that's got all the latest gadgets. But guess what? It's still an empty boat. And as long as that boat stays in the average waters, well, it's going to stay empty. You know, the trouble with settling for average is that we only ever have enough resources and enough capacity to help ourselves. Average people and average organizations have no margin to help other people, because remember, average is mostly concerned with comfort and convenience. And I think it's fair to say that most often it's inconvenient and uncomfortable to care about others. The famous British writer Arthur Conan Doyle, who was the creator of Sherlock Holmes, once very profoundly said that mediocrity or average knows nothing higher than itself. That's why as a church, we can never settle for average, because an average church is only concerned with those who are already in the church. But a church that rises above average is also concerned with those who are not yet in the church, those who haven't come through the doors yet, those in our community who don't know Jesus yet, those who've lost hope, those who are living empty lives. And that's why we have to keep, as a church, stepping into deeper waters. That's why, even despite the setbacks of COVID, we have to still keep growing as a church. We have to keep planning to build new buildings and open new campuses. We need to keep adding more parking, as we've just done in Durban North. We need to feed more kids through the foundation, because it's so easy to become inward focused and only concerned about self. But when we choose to rise above average, our lives and our businesses and our churches all begin to make a difference in the lives of others. Then thirdly, we see is that we discover our God-given purpose. You know, Jesus finished off this encounter with Peter by saying in verse 10, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." I love this. I love this. Peter started off that day doing an average work for an average wage, living an average life with an average expectation. You know, he just went about his menial work each day, and then he came home again, the same every single day. But once he'd been out into the deeper waters and he'd seen the results it produced, well, he knew that he could never settle for average again. He could never just fish where everyone else fished, and he would never just be content with those shallow waters. You see, church, once we begin to do more than average and serve more than average and give more than average, we realize that we can never, ever go back to how things used to be. Once you start rising above average, you're not easily going to want to settle for how your life used to be, because like Peter, we see that there's something that comes alive on the inside, and it's a thing called purpose. You know, all of a sudden, that which God had created Peter for began to come to life, and Peter realized that he was capable of more and that Jesus intended for him to experience more. And Jesus, well, he changed the direction of Peter's life by revealing to him his God-given purpose. And so Peter, well, he was now going to fish for people. He wasn't just going to be fishing because he needed a job and he needed to pay the bills and pay the kids' school fees and put food on the table. No, now he was fishing with purpose. Peter's fishing would reach people for Jesus, and Peter himself would go on to become the leader of the disciples and the one on whose revelation Jesus said that he would build his church. And, you know, there's nothing average about that. But how did it start? You know, how did Peter step out from just doing a job into living out his purpose? Well, it started when he responded to Jesus' call to rise above average and go into the deeper waters. Church, there's no meaning and there's no purpose to be found in the shallow waters. And although all of us naturally gravitate towards average, I also believe that there's something that God has put on the inside of us that desperately wants to live a life above average. You know, I really believe that we want our lives to count for something. We want to stand before God one day knowing that we've given him our best in everything. Come on. We want to know that our lives have touched other people. We want that. And I believe you want that for your life today. There's a great book called An Enemy Called Average. And the author, John Mason, writes and says, within every person is a desire to be fully who they were created to be. No one really wants to just get by. Regardless of where you are in life, how much you have or have not accomplished, God is not finished with you yet. But church, we have a choice to make. And the sooner we make it, the better. We can settle for average because it's easier and more comfortable, or we can rise above average so that we can live out our God-given purpose and become all that the Lord has created us to be. I can't choose that for you, and God won't force you to choose it. We each have to choose it for ourselves. I want to finish today with a great quote by the late Dr. Miles Munro. And he once said that the wealthiest place in the world is not the gold mines of South America or the oil fields of Iraq or Iran. They are not the diamond mines of South Africa or the banks of the world. The wealthiest place on the planet is just down the road. It's the cemetery. There lie buried companies that were never started, inventions that were never made, best-selling books that were never written, and masterpieces that were never painted. In the cemetery is buried the greatest treasure of untapped potential. You know, when we settle for average, we eventually die having never lived the way God intended for us to live. We take all our potential and all the good plans of God with us to the grave. Church, let's choose to rise above average and step into the deeper waters. And let's become all that God has created us to be. Can you give me a loud amen from your homes today? I want to pray in a moment for people to respond to Jesus and receive him as Lord of your life. You know, the Bible tells us that there is only one way to access God, and there is only one way to receive his forgiveness, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus shed his blood at the cross and he died for us so that we could be washed clean from our sin and made new. Church, he paid the price in full and bought us back from death so that we don't have to live an average life bound by sin. The Bible also says that Jesus was raised to life on the third day so that we too, as believers, will one day be raised to eternal life. And the good news is that everyone who repents of their sin and confesses Jesus Christ as Lord will be saved. And if you're ready to make that decision now, then I'd love to lead you in a prayer of faith. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you willingly gave your life by dying on a cross for me. Thank you that through your blood that was shed, I've been washed clean from all my sin. And today I confess you as Lord of my life. I believe that you were raised from the dead. And the Bible says that because of that, I'm saved. I'm born again through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, today I also determine that no longer will I live an average life, but I choose to surrender in full to you so that I can become all that you've created me to be. Thank you that I have a hope and a future. I surrender to you in full. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, what a wonderful decision you made right now if you did pray that prayer with a sincere heart. And church, know that God never turns anyone away who comes to Him with a sincere and repentant heart. We'd love to walk a journey with you, and I'd encourage you to WhatsApp the number on screen right now, and our team will send some information to you and be in touch. And alternatively, you can go to the website, and we've got some great information available for you. And if you leave your details, we'll make sure that we do follow up with you in the week. Well, thank you so much for joining us online again today. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Stay safe. Keep praying so that we can get back to church soon. We'll see you soon. God bless.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.